Psalms 106. You know, when we start reading this book and we start looking at the Bible, and it's evident in the Bible that God, He seeks out men. It's evident that God is the one who not only saves us, but once He saves us, He seeks out men to do the work, to go out and reach more people. You know, we have verses, and there's lots of verses. We have verses like over there in Ezekiel where it says that God sought out a man. Yeah. We know that God, and this thought should be something that just truly amazes you, that God is actually interested in getting you interested.
Yeah, that's right.
He's actually interested in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, from the very beginning, who are you? Who am I that God would look upon us and want to save us?
Amen.
And you know, I dare to say that everybody in this room somehow was led to the Lord by somebody. You didn't just wake up and say, you know, I need to get saved. You know, I'm lost and I just need... No, it doesn't happen that way. Somebody went out, somebody spoke to you, somebody conquered their fears of rejection or shame. Amen. Or whatever it was, maybe even just tiredness or weakness.
Amen.
And they opened their mouth to speak to you. You know, we are in a position, and I think it's something that we need to understand, that people get saved because of you.
Amen.
I mean, God does a saving. But people get saved, lives get changed, churches get started in Mexico and in Poland and around the world because of churches. Because look, I mean, it's not like we can do this on our own. I mean, I know it's possible. If you go back through church history, I mean, men have gotten, they just got up and went to another country and worked and without any support, and God provided for them. I mean, surely when they left, no one supported them. And once people started finding out, these guys are over there, and then somehow they got money to them, or somehow they got help to them. Somehow they got involved in the work. But let's be honest. God, we need each other.
Amen.
Otherwise, the work is going to be a little bit harder.
Amen.
It's not that it can't be done. It's just that this is how God set it up. Well, you know, here in Psalms 106, let's read... Verse 23, it's something that struck me, and I'm just looking at it. It says, therefore, and I know it's talking about the children of Israel, and it's talking about how they just backslidden, and God was just fed up with them, and they just kept on doing wrong. But look at this. It says, therefore he said, in verse 23, therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach, to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Had not Moses. You know what God's looking for? Some had nots. That we our church is a had not church. Because we can't and we should not try to justify ourselves and say, well, you know what? If we don't do it, somebody else will. If I don't go, somebody else will go. If I don't start this thing, if I don't get involved, God is big enough to get it done. Well, you know what? That's not what this verse says. God says, I was ready to destroy. I was ready to pour out my wrath, had not Moses. Talk about power. Moses, and we all know the story of Moses. Moses wasn't some great man. He was a man just like you and I. Or probably even worse than you and I. I mean, the guy he stuttered. I mean, the guy was afraid. The guy said, man, I can't do this. And God says, well, you know what? You have your brother. I'll send you. He'll speak for you. I mean, he needed help. Maybe he had some confidence issues. Maybe he didn't, some self-esteem issues. I don't know, but he wasn't capable. At least he didn't feel like he was. I mean, he even goes as far and says, man, if they're going to ask me who sent me, what do I say? Just tell them I am sent you. I mean, talk about dropping a name. I mean, I am. What are we talking about? How far am I going to get with I am? But you know, God is seeking. God is looking for men to carry on the work.
Amen.
You know, I'm fascinated with the book of John in the first chapter, where John is talking about Christ, and it was right at his baptism. He's talking about him, and he has two disciples there. And when Christ comes walking up, these guys look at Christ. They hear what John says, and they follow him. They follow him. But can you see the picture? They're following him from just a little ways. You know? Because it says there in chapter 1 that Jesus, he turned around. He saw him following him. He says, hey, what are you guys doing? And these two guys says, hey, we just want to know where you live. We're just curious. You know, where do you live? Where'd you come from? Yeah. And you know what? You know what his response was? Come and see. Come and see. Man, that would not have convinced me. You know, what do you mean? I need a little bit more information, please. What do you mean, come and see? You know, it's like going, you know, calling somebody on Craigslist for something you want to buy, and they say, oh, meet me at so-and-so, you know? Come into my house. Well, hold on. You know, who are you? Can't we meet like in a McDonald's, in a public place? You know, where do you want me to go? No. Jesus just said, come and see. And they went. They go, and one of these guys is Andrew. Andrew shows up. And he runs to his brother, and he says, man, we found the Messiah. You ain't going to believe this guy. He goes, and he follows him. The next day, they go and find Philip. You got that water? Thank you. Thank you. They find Philip. Philip, he goes, and he finds Nathanael, right? And Nathanael, he says, man, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, come on, you know, I mean, this is the guy you're all, you know, talking about. And what does Philip say? Come and see. Come and see. You know what? When I see that, I'm thinking that's exactly what kind of evangelism we have. Come and see, man. Because sometimes you cannot explain. There's no words to explain what we've experienced. You know? I mean, you get saved, and it's like an incredible... If you get saved, I'm not talking about raising your hand, right? Who loves Jesus? And, you know, everybody raise their hand. They probably got cousins named Jesus. At least down in Mexico. That's a real common name. But you know, I'm talking about somebody coming to Christ, a sinner, and understands that they are dead in sin. and bound for hell and get saved.
Amen.
What an experience.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes there's not anything else that I can say. It's just like, man, just come and see. Where do y'all meet? Well, it's kind of hard to explain. Just come and see.
Yeah,
just come and check it out. Because you know what I know? The Word of God reaches you.
Yes, sir.
The Word of God changes people's
Thank
hearts.
You, Lord.
But it's evident to me that God is a God of salvation, of calling men.
Amen.
And not only calling them for salvation, but church, He's calling us to join in this awesome work that we're in.
Amen.
And sometimes God does things. I know we're supposed to be praying. But sometimes God even goes against how you pray. You ever experienced that? I've experienced that. I mean, Brother Brian's one of my best friends, not even my pastor, but he's one of my best friends. I love him to death. But Brian has this problem that he tells the truth. And I remember when I first got saved, and me and Brother Brian going to a hospital visiting some kid, and we were talking, and Brother Brian said, "Oh yeah, man, I knew you back before you knew us, and I was praying that God just kill you, just take you out." I don't know. I was thinking, man, what did I just hear? You know, and of course there's a lot of story there, and I understand how he's praying. I understand what he's thinking about. I totally understand. But I say, you know what? God, in spite of that, you know, God says, no, 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 no. I'm going to save this kid.
Amen.
Same thing. Even though the scripture doesn't say it, we can come to that conclusion about Paul. I mean, here in chapter 8 of Acts, he has vengeance, man. He wants to slaughter more Christians. I mean, he just got done seeing a group stone Stephen. And he has papers to do it himself. Could you imagine that? Do you think people were praying for Paul? I don't think people were praying, "Oh God, save him." I mean, Ananias, they're in chapter 9. I mean, God tells them, "You're going to go so-and-so, and you're going to meet this guy. Oh, and by the way, his name is Saul." And he goes, ho, wait a minute. I don't think you understand who this guy is. It's reported among, you know, the other guys. I mean, not me. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. This guy's a bad guy. No, and then he tells him he's a chosen. He's chosen. I've chosen him to preach the gospel. An amazing thing. God is looking. God is looking, brethren, among us for the have-nots. Have not Moses. What is he looking for? Well, first of all, I can tell you real quick. First of all, God's looking for just some Christian people.
Yeah.
Nothing special. The Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians, it says not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. I mean, look, we need wise people among us.
Yeah, that's right.
But there's not many. Hey, you know what? Brent said some, you know, very, very, very good. Because of what men did before us, it makes it a lot easier for us to do the same thing they did, because we say, oh, well, they came out of it okay. You know, it's a little bit easier. So, you know, back then it probably wasn't looked upon as wise for Bill to go off without any support. They say, man, that guy's dumb. You know, but we can look at it now and say, man, that was a pretty wise decision. You know, that's just amazing. We We don't have many mighty in the church, but we do need mighty men. And I'm talking about people who are workers and who support the work and support the pastors and support missionaries. This is needed. We can't be all bums. You know? I guess we can have a church under the bridge. They got one of those here in San Antonio. But, we need some mighty men. We need some people to progress in their jobs and God can prosper them and then they can do more for the gospel.
Amen.
You know, I get real happy when some of you guys get a better job. I do. I'm thinking, hey man, I'm always, it's much easier for me to think about how I can spend your money than I can spend my money. Okay? No, but seriously, I know, I'm thinking, wow, God, praise God. Hopefully, that's not a snare. You know? I'd much rather you be in the church and just living and serving God than get caught up with fame or wealth or whatever else. But you know, it says we don't have many wise and many mighty. You know, the Bible says we don't have many noble people. You know, there's no famous people among us. We're just a group. We're just somebody out here and, you know, off Oak Knoll. You think it's easy to find us? Just try to tell somebody where we are. Where?
Thank you, Lord.
You know, God's just looking for some Christian people.
Amen.
Somebody like Peter.
That's right.
You know? I can relate to Peter.
Yeah.
Deny, open your mouth too fast. Deny Christ. But he gets up and goes. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for some courageous people.
Amen.
Some people like Joshua and Caleb. You read over there in Numbers in chapter 13, and I mean, Moses sends out spies, right? The majority come back and they say, can't be done. Right? It doesn't matter that God said it can be done. It doesn't matter. It just can't be done. We've seen these guys. They're giants. They're just huge. You know, compared to them, we're like grasshoppers. And then you get a couple guys that say, let's roll, man. I mean, we can do it.
Amen.
We can go. And you know, God gets angry and that generation does not get into the promised land. But he doesn't forget.
That's right.
Caleb, as an old man, still wants that piece of property. He wants that real estate. He said, God promised me this land. And he said, even though I'm old and I'm young inside, I can do it. That's the kind of people that God's looking for. These are the had not people. Just courageous people. And I am happy that I do know some people that way.
Amen.
Courageous. Maybe not the same standards as the world looks at courageous, but let me tell you, live a life for Christ. Just live following God. Live trying to do the right thing. Living godly.
Amen.
Being an example.
Amen.
Following Christ. And I can see how you follow Christ. And I can say, I'm going to follow you. I know it can be done. You're doing it. So I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to do a little bit better. Because
yeah.
You know why? Because there's other kids younger than me who hopefully start looking at me.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Say, well, these little kids here, they might think, well, you know, these other guys are a little bit too old, but maybe I can still relate to Brother John. You know? I'm not that old. You know, they went against the majority.
They sure did. Yeah.
Man, just think about it. Just think about what we do here.
This is incredible.
You know?
I think about also God is looking for people that are consecrated.
Amen.
How about people like Daniel? You know? These guys get together and they say, we can't find an occasion against Daniel. There's none there. You know, the only thing we can do is we can trap him by something that he does biblically. Man, is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Is there enough evidence to convict you and I as being truly sold out to God? You know, I think we need to also, God's looking for people who are consistent.
Amen.
Like Job. I mean, this guy gets tried.
Yeah.
This guy loses everything. His wife isn't much of a help. His friends aren't much of a help.
That's right.
But yet, he was consistent and he just stayed faithful to God.
Yeah.
He never lost his compass.
Amen.
I mean, was it hard? Yes. Could you imagine getting that information? Look, your whole family is just gone, wiped out. You lost everything. And yet he could look up to God and say, man, we came into this world with nothing.
Yeah.
Naked.
That's right.
Man, you talk about having your glass half full.
Amen.
Yeah. Wow. But he was consistent. You know, we need to be that way. If we want to be folks that are had not like Moses, somebody who stands in the gap, somebody who is there to turn the heart of God, then we have to get consecrated. We have to get courageous. We have to be consistent, and we have to be compassionate. You know, you find a person like Paul who was very, very evil against the church. And then God does something in his heart and totally changes him. And he ran his course. He finished the race.
Amen.
Could you imagine that cloud hanging over you your whole life? You know it had to be, you know, whispered around. I mean, this is the guy that killed, that consented in the death of Stephen. Imagine living with that the rest of your life. Let me tell you, he had compassion for souls. He had a love for souls. This is what the had-nots need to have. We are a church, a had-not church. I truly believe if it wasn't for this church, I wouldn't be saved. Now you could say, oh yeah, but God would have saved, if God wanted to, but you know what? He used this church. You can't say that. He used this church. He used the missionary from this church to reach me.
Thank you, Lord.
In a way that I would never have thought, I've never had the opportunity for somebody to tell me, you know, yes, I'll talk to you, but don't tell me about the Bible. Don't talk to me about the Bible. And then win that guy by not talking about the Bible? How does that work? It doesn't even make sense. But let me tell you, man, just the fact that that man stayed true to his word and didn't tell me anything about the Bible ate me up. After an hour of him not telling me anything about Christ, here I am and I say, well, what about this? Oh, before I answer you, my friend, you brought it up. It was all uphill from there. Who would have thought, man, that is God. God was right there in the mix. Somebody was standing in the gap. Somebody was between life and death. Somebody was faithful.
Amen.
I can tell you that directly because of this church, many lives are changed in Mexico. Changed forever. It works, you know, on Saturday, you know, we want to show you this clip of most of our churches. They just say a few words. I want you to see these guys. Some of these guys you'll never meet. And especially now with all the crazy stuff going around over there. You're thinking, well, maybe 10 years ago I would have gone, but now. Well, you know, you get to see the lives that are changed because of a had not church. Had not have been for the people here given to the gospel, the people here going to Mexico, the people here going to Poland, people here sacrificing, these lives would not have been changed. And, you know, if you don't like that comment, that's fine with me. You can look at it, maybe, you know, with your theology or whatever. I don't care. I'm looking at this. And God says right here, had not Moses. That's what he said. You know, if you're here tonight without Christ, then you're just a have not. You do not have Christ. You do not have the salvation. You need to get in. You need to get saved. But if you're here tonight, I truly think this week, listening to these messages, listening to things that God has put in our heart, this phrase, it just keeps coming back in my mind, in my heart. Actually, with our spiritual eyes, you know, just seeing Christ, like just here saying, come and see. Come and see. This is what we want to present to you. Come and see. Join in if you're not already doing something. Be a have not Christian. Amen.